How's everyone doing? Y'all ready for this heat to be done? It was nice Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday. I'm over it. Although we've been playing pickleball every Wednesday in the heat. You would think it'd get cooler in the evening. Hallelujah. Took a day off today. Oh, okay. That's the last first time in many, many years. How long you been up there? 30-something? Over? 31. Faithful. That's awesome. Want to talk to you today about America's Most Needed. We know it's the Holy Spirit. It is not just for America, it's for the world. Jesus is the hope of the world. If you got your Bibles, open up to John 14. It says this, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Welcome to his hearts. Welcome, take to his hearts, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. Trying to get this candy out because it's like making me salivate, so I'm trying not to drool as I talk. This is just a mint. That's why I was reading slow. So yes, I am educated, so I'm just... Standby, it says the Holy Spirit is there in your life, ready to be used in emergencies, ready to be used when you need him. He's on standby. In our spirit, and sometimes we'll walk around as if we're just down and out. The Holy Spirit is ready to be used in every situation in your life. He's ready to give you wisdom. He's ready to give you insight. He's ready to release his power through you. He's ready for that. And then sometimes we just... We got that nobody knows the trouble I see with the tin can and clinking it among the bars. We don't have to do that. We don't have to live that way. Some people don't like living in victory. They get tired of it. And the thing about it is, it's like, how can you get tired of doing and walking in something that God has given you? What he's given you is victory every single day. He's giving you daily victories every day. He did not create you to fail. And he did not give you anything in your life where you would fail. But it seems like in this nature, in this culture, is that we're more fixated on the failures than we are the victories that Christ has given us. People want to see that you make a mistake. Is anyone perfect? No one's perfect. So I think we can get past that. No, I'm not perfect, even though sometimes I might say it and sometimes people may believe it. I'm not perfect. My wife would tell you that. I have my moments. No, we all have fallen short. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman and he works with us and he is for us. You know that the faith that God has given you alone with the Holy Spirit is for the supernatural, is for miracles, is for doing something extraordinary. Your faith is for remarkable things to be carried out in your life. And the awesome thing about it is that he is with us forever. He will never leave us. Our life is but a vapor here on earth compared to eternity. And he said he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He won't quit on us. And we have the opportunity to experience and live our days here on earth and then in eternity with the greatest of all time. God's undefeated. And he wants a personal relationship with you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to be in your life, in every aspect of your life, every decision that you make. He wants to be a part of it. Let him. Business deals, let him. Relationships, let him. Even when you're taking tests, pray. There's a story of a young lady who said, you know, she was, I believe, in medical school or, you know, or some type of school. It was secondary school, what have you, but she was just getting her PhD or master's and what have you. And she said she didn't know what was going on. She prayed in the Holy Spirit for about 15 minutes before every test. She didn't study. Aced it every time. Now, on a side note, I don't really like people who don't study and get A's. Really? You don't have to study and you get an A? Forget you, man. I got to spend day and night. And you know me, I'll just wait till the last minute, the day before, and just cram. But she studied. I mean, she didn't study. She just prayed in the Holy Spirit. God wants you to invite him into your life in every aspect of your life. Think about this for 1 second. Shouldn't you expect more in your life? It's not being greedy. It's just receiving what God has given you. Shouldn't you expect more in your life? To see what Jesus has truly given you through his blood manifested in your life, it's more than just punching a Sunday ticket each week. Expect things to break in your life. Some people just come to church just to come to church. How many of you grew up with your parents taking you to church? Raise your hand. Now, out of 52 Sundays out of the year, how many went to at least 48 of them? You know, it'd be amazing if people go to 15 to 20 services each week for the year because they got so much stuff going on. I love sports. I love traveling. I can't control anything. I said, but this is something that the Lord has placed on my heart. It's getting to the place. And here's the thing. It's my generation's fault. My parents didn't let us. I played 1 year of traveling basketball in sixth grade. That was it. 1 year. And we get sold on, parents get sold on, your kids are going to miss it. If you don't do this, this is not going to happen. Wait. Listen, you're on a different level because you've got the holiness, you have the Holy Spirit. And we took our kids, we split up all the time. I wouldn't say all the time. They didn't play a certain amount of tournaments or anything like that. I said, but get your kids involved. No, are they going to go to hell for missing church? No. But they need a foundation. And most people don't have a foundation. And then they're sent there. They're looking for what is going on with my family. My family's broken up. Well, there's a reason. You didn't make the main thing the main thing. God has got to be first in your life. And if there's not we don't put a stop, I wouldn't say put a stop, but if there's not some type of revival, if there's no revelation, if there's nothing that the Lord can reveal to them, it's going to be detrimental to the church. Sunday is more than just punching your relationship with God is more than just punching a Sunday ticket. Average attendance is about two out of four Sundays. Average. Used to be three. Now I know there's some seasons for some people. We've done that. I was playing the drums, missing. I was even a coach and missed. While my kids are gone. And my wife ended up taking them. But you know what? Where we spent most of our time? Here. Friday nights, Wednesday nights. If your kids don't see that you have a love for God and serving, They're not going to have one. You can't expect them to have one. So do the things that's going to help your family get to that next level in Christ, whatever level that is. We could be all supportive when it comes to the political stuff, where our children need to learn this. They need to understand the Constitution, but they need to learn the Word of God. That's just as important. They need to have a personal relationship with the Lord. That's just more important than the sport. That's just more important than anything else that we got going on in the world. Doesn't mean you can't miss. Why? Christ hasn't left. He said he'll never leave you, never forsake you. You know where your heart's at. Please, if you feel condemned for this, I'm not trying to condemn. I'm not. This young man has a heart for God more so than anybody I've seen in a long time. Yes, you. He's looking around. Who's he talking to? No. Parents do too. That's what matters. It's almost as if we're chasing the bag. Expect lives to be transformed. Expect miracles, signs, and wonders to be demonstrated in our lives. Not yearly, not monthly, not weekly, but daily. Daily victories. We get to fill up daily with the Holy Spirit. That means you are never void of the power of God working in your lives. And not one day goes by that you are without the power of God flowing through you. Start expecting to hear from God on a daily basis. Start expecting to see miracles daily. Start expecting to see your words that you speak by faith come to pass in less than 24 hours. Start expecting. You could be okay with somebody praying for you, but are you okay with praying and believing and receiving? Start expecting. Hey, I went to church on Sunday. That's good. Oh, praise God. Now we just forget about him until next Sunday. It's a daily life. It's a daily living. That's what the victory's for daily living. God dwells in you. See, your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in you. So trust me when I say this, God pays his bills on time. He lives within you. The bills are paid. That means the light are on. This is your temple. If you were to buy a house, you have to turn on the lights and all the electrical stuff in every which way. If not, you're just going to be living in the dark. He's paid his bills. He paid it with the blood of Jesus. So there's nothing that you're void of. You've got that. You got running water. You got living water. You have power. You have electricity. You have your lights are on. You're not living in darkness. You're not living in fear. Everything that he's given you is free. Lord, I can't see. Turn on the lights. Open your eyes. You know, you got one running water. And I'm talking about that running water that was good to drink from the faucet in the 80s. You can drink from the hose. And I'm talking about it was cold. I don't know how it was out here in Kansas, but you get to the water faucet, maybe we've been playing all day long, and then we get a drink from the water hose. No, we didn't have our mom to come bring us a water bottle or Gatorade. There's a faucet over there. Not spending money on stuff. Go get a drink. Water bottles. Everybody got water bottles now. There's a drinking fountain over there. Soft. But I love you with your soft self. No, <it's> like, the 80s were tough on us, but it was fun. The blood of Jesus passed. He's paid the price for your sins. You don't have to steal power from your neighbor's house. He's given you your own power that he can flow through and operate through. God has given you plenty of what you need for your life. In Ephesians 3, it says, may he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling your innermost being and personality. See, Paul is wanting God. Paul is wanting the church to have the wisdom of God, and that they might be reinforced with the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't fulfill what God has called you to do without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. What he's given you to do is going to require the Holy Spirit flowing and operating effectively in your life. So that means that you were equipped, you were wired, you were all that stuff was downloaded in you to do something extraordinary in your life for what he's given you. It's to impact people's lives. Everyone has that on the inside of them, no matter where you're at. Everyone has that. Every believer has that, whether you think that or not. God has the answer for everything that we are going to face in life and the power to stop it or keep it from totally destroying us. In verse 17, it says, may Christ through your faith actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. May Christ through your faith actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home. Quit sending God to the guest house of your heart. He's not there temporarily. He's there to stay. And he's there to make his home in you. He's there to dwell in you. He's there to lead you. He's there to guide you. He's there to counsel you. We send him to the guest house as if they're the, you know, he's the stepmom or something. The mother-in-law. The father-in-law. He's there to make his permanent home. The Holy Spirit truly wants to show you things to come, truly wants you to live through him. His wisdom, his works, his word that he received from Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us in everything we do, down to how we minister to our husbands or wives and to our children. We are the temple for God to live in us. We belong to him. It's his life, not ours. Our life is not ours. It's his. So he would know what we need in our life on a daily basis. In verse 18, it says that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth and length and height and depth of it. The more you get to know about Jesus, the more you will understand how wide, how long, and how deep the love of Christ really is. When you come to the knowledge of the love of God, you will be rooted and established in his love. You will truly understand how to love one another. I believe we all need a deeper knowledge and refresher on that part right there. It says, verse 19, it says, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourself the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. It will be very difficult to understand the love of Christ if we never spend time with him. People want to know. You know, one of his disciples said, show us the Father. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you don't believe my words, at least believe my works. How can we truly know Jesus if we don't spend time reading the Gospels? I've only read the Gospels maybe one time. Read it over and over and over again. I guarantee you, God will draw out so much stuff that you've never even seen before. Heard one preacher minister talk about this. He goes, the Lord had showed him something in the New Testament. He goes, I've never seen that. He goes, I've read the New Testament about 150 times. I've never seen that. And the Lord just revealed it to him. It hadn't changed. But sometimes when we're going through life, certain scriptures will just jump out of the page and just minister to us. because this is what we're focused on. This is what we're needing. You won't truly know what love is until you come to an understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done for you. In verse 20, it says, now to him. I love this scripture. There's one scripture y'all need to get is this one right here. There's a lot of good ones in the Bible. It says, now to him, by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. We're not praying to someone that doesn't know what we need before we need it. We are not praying or asking someone who is void of power and wisdom. We are not praying or asking someone who doesn't care about us in any way. According to his word, he is able to go above and beyond what we can ask or think. Think about that for a minute. He is able to go above and beyond. Think about the wildest thing, like I'm talking about within reason. You know, I'm going to say within reason. Dream big. Think big. Bigger than you ever thought about in your life. Seriously, do that. What you want God to do in your life. I did it last night, man. I was just shouting and jumping in the basement. Did you hear me? Okay. Wasn't loud enough. Here's the thing. Where you're thinking and believing and asking God, that's the launching pad for where he takes it to another level. Because there's no ceiling. The sky's the limit. He takes all your prayers and your desires, your thoughts, your hopes and dreams. And if you can just imagine putting it in a hot air balloon that will never deflate or what have you, or go out, it just continues to go. That's where he's going to take it. Now unto him who was able to do exceedingly above all that we can ask or think according to, other versions will say, according to the power that works within us. So what you've been believing the Lord for, what you've been thinking about, in that sense, God can take it to a whole nother level. That should make you want to shout. Are you serious? God can take that to a whole nother level? Yes. He didn't say go chasing after it. He says above that you ask or think. What's wrong with asking? If he says no, he says no. But let him bring that stuff to pass in your life. You don't have to go chasing after things. He knows what you need. He says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. God will surpass what you've been dreaming, what you've been desiring. He'll take it to a whole nother level. He's able to do it. God is an extravagant giver. He gives the best gifts. He strengthens you every day. The Holy Spirit gives you daily victories. Do you realize that every part of you is filled with the glory of God? Every part of you is filled with the Holy Spirit. You were not transformed to fail. And sometimes we could be so focused on our failures and not realize that everything that God has given us was to walk in that victory. I don't know why ministers and people would be so focused on failure. They're so focused on the brokenness. They're so focused on the suffering. Jesus says, I come to heal the brokenhearted. I don't know about you, but again, I read the Gospels. Maybe I need to read them again. When did Jesus ever break somebody? He says, I can only do what I see my Father do. I can only say what I hear my Father say. When did Jesus ever break somebody in order for them to receive? And sometimes we say people need to be broken before God elevates you. When? Show me in the Bible. When he sent them out, show me in the Bible. Don't give me some Old Testament stuff. Things were done differently in the Old Testament than in New Covenant. Not everybody is a prophet in that sense or hold those offices. Now, there may be some times where God will want you to prophesy over someone. You know, one of the greatest stories that I like reading about is in Acts chapter 10, when there was somebody within the church God had used to lay hands on Saul so that he might receive his sight and fill him with the Holy Spirit. Whoo! He didn't call a pastor to do that. He didn't call an evangelist. He didn't call an apostle. He didn't call a prophet. It was one of you. Come on. What he's given you is for the impossible. What he has given you is for the extravagant. What he has given you is not for the ordinary stuff. Your faith moves mountains in your life and in other people's lives. It will obey your voice. Time to stop waiting on someone else to speak it for you. See, that's what the infilling of the Holy Spirit will help do. It'll give you that boldness so that you can speak it out. If you're not talking victory, you're talking defeat. You have victory over death, victory over sin, victory over fear, victory over the devil. If you're not talking victory, you're talking defeat. But see, remember, the enemy is under defeat. It's a little slang for you. Ephesians 5:18. It says, don't get drunk with wine, which is rebellion. Instead, be filled continually with the Holy Spirit, and your hearts will overflow with joyful song to the Lord. Keep speaking to each other with words of scripture, singing psalms and praises and spontaneous songs given by the Spirit. Always give thanks to the Father for every person he brings into your life in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be continually filled or filled again. It's a continuous thing that we do in our life. Why doesn't God want you to be drunk with wine? Because you make dumb decisions when we do. You can be hanging with some people, and I'm not talking about me now. I don't drink. I don't like the smell of it. God took that out of me. But seriously, I was like, in college, you could be hanging with somebody, and there's always one person that think that they can defy gravity. Dumb decisions. You're not very smart. Even in verse 17, it tells you not to be unwise. People will make dumb decisions when they're drunk. That's what tells you to be sober. You'll make dumb decisions. You don't make good decisions. But here's the thing. What's that saying? If you're going to be stupid, you got to be tough. It'll make you brave, but it'll make you stupid. You don't make smart choices when you do that. It says, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. How? By speaking. Speaking. Truth is, you can't drink with your mouth closed. I think Brother Hankin said that. They were filled and were speaking in new tongues. At the day of Pentecost, when this Holy Spirit fell on them, they began speaking in new tongues. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it will give you that utterance to speak in new tongues. You mean to tell me my life has to be a Broadway musical? No, it doesn't have to be that. We're all in this together. That's not what he's talking about. But see, the thing is that you may be walking and might have a song in your heart. You may be talking with other people and you're just, I don't know. Song may break out, worship may break out. But it's how you be filled with the Holy Spirit, because he wants for you to have that full service. There used to be gas stations in the 80s and filling stations, and they had full serve or self-serve. The full serve, it was awesome, man. You actually had attendants that came out and helped you. Not like today. please forgive me. I said, this is going to be just a little pet peeve of mine. When you walk into a store or you know, a restaurant or what have you, and nobody's at the register, and you're standing there waiting, everybody's just working, they see you, and no one comes. Not because of the color of my skin. They're just busy. They're short-staffed, right? I'm like, okay, you should be at the register waiting. Can I help you? Next person coming in, you hear that thing chiming. Ding! Somebody comes. Be ready to go. See, these gas station attendants would actually make their money, man. I mean, they would work. They'll come out, fill it up, 87, unleaded, regular, premium, what have you. Yep. They'll put the hose in. They'll go get the squeegee, wash your windows. If you need to change out the windshield wipers, they'll do that for you too. They used to change oil, you know, the oil cans that they have, and they have to put that, the funnel in, what have you. They'll change your oil right there, put air in your tires. Full service. Nowadays, you have to do it. Ah, miss those days. But see, God gives you full service. He fills you up. Now, can you imagine going through life thinking, you know, somebody said, I'm going to give you free gasoline for the rest of your life. There will be people who do it differently. People, there would be some that might wait until, you know, they get to that due to empty. It's like they'll go as long as they can until they're on fumes, and then they'll go and fill up. You can fill up anytime you want. They'll wait till they're empty. Anybody ever take a road trip to where they coasted into in a new town on fumes? I've done that before. I left here for a conference. My wife had a Traverse, or a Chevy Traverse that we had. And I filled it, I topped it off here, $32. And I drove all the way to Tulsa. 9 miles due to empty. I was like, yes. Boy, it was a rush. It was a rush. It was pretty cool. But I'm not telling you, I'm not going to say that, but I wasn't white knuckling it. Just, all right, Lord, we need to get this. I'm praying in the spirit. But it was awesome. And I did it on the way back too. You would think I would learn my lesson, but if it did it once, it'll do it again. But see, then there's some that will fill it up when it gets halfway and then what have you. And then there are some at the end of the day that will top it off. They're done running the errands, going to work or what have you, doing what they need to do. And before they go home and turn in for the night, they'll fill it up. See, speaking in psalms and spiritual songs is how we stay filled up. You can get filled up. You don't have to run on fumes ever. You don't have to go to your empty and then get filled again. It's a continuous thing that you do over and over and over again. That's the beauty of it and what God has given us. That's the relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit. All right, get off of there. God is not going to tell you no, we're out. He's not going to tell you no. He's not going to turn you away. When you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a way to do it. Speaking. In Jude 20, it says, and build yourselves up on your most holy faith, doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. How you get filled every time on a daily basis. So when do we have time for failure? I'm not going to say we going to fail, but I guarantee you it's not going to be because God led us to fail. He didn't equip us the right way. It's because we chose to do it ourselves. We miss it. Get off of there. There we go. We used to have, there used to be books. I don't know, teachers out there, y'all can hit me up later on, please. You can text me or send me an email. But there used to be books growing up where I had, and I like for Roman to have them too. But they're like adventure books. I like those adventures. It's like you get on page 1, right? And you read, And then at the bottom of the page, you have a scenario. So you can read, go on to the next page, page two. Or if you want this person to do this, you think that they should do this, they'll go to page 18. And I used to love those books because every time you read it, you do something different and it'll take you to different pages. You have different endings and stuff like that. See, God knows our ending. That's why he comes to live with us. He knows everything that we're getting ready to do, but it's our choices that we choose to make. And we can choose to go to page two and continue to walk with him, or we can jump on over and try to fast track it to page 18, and then we're crying out, God is breaking me for this. Who said God was breaking you? That could have been just your decision based upon your choices. Turn the page. Flow with him. We wouldn't be as frustrated as we are in life if we just say, God, I want what you have for me. If we can make that a daily prayer, Lord, I want what you have for me, what you want for me. What you've already freely given me, this is what I want. I want to walk in your ways. We wouldn't be as frustrated as we are. Lord, I want what you want for me. I want what you want for this church. I want what you want for my family. Why? His ways are higher. As high as I can think or whatever I can ask, that's just a launching pad to where he can take it to another level. All my desires, all my dreams, all my hopes and thoughts and prayers, he's going to take it to a whole nother level. Get a revelation on that. It'll bring some excitement. You mean to tell me all my prayers, your thoughts, your desires, your hopes, your dreams. He can do above and beyond if you let him. Let go. Whatever you ask for, give it to him, let it go. So you got to get your mind off your failures. True worshipers will worship him in how? In spirit and in truth. Jesus says, if you abide in me, if you are my disciples, you will continue in my word and you will know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Make you free. Depending on what version you read. Some people said set, some people said make. Read the King James Version, and I believe the New King James Version said make. Is that me? He will make you free. We're focused on failures. True worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth. It's who he is, what he's done, and who you are in Christ. And if you're coming to God with all our failures, if we're bringing all our failures, all our mistakes, all of this, is it really true worship? Because God is not looking at your failures. He's not reminding you of your past. So why are we reminding ourselves? I see why people are stuck in the same stuff 20 years later, and it's just like, God is just breaking me again? Really? You haven't gotten over it? He set you free. Live in that. Everyone's going through stuff. But you know what? It's the finished work and what Jesus has done for you. He's come to heal the brokenhearted. He come to set at liberty those who are captive. The door is open. You can walk on out. You don't have to continue to imprison yourself. Say, nobody knows the trouble I see, but I get more attention like this, Lord. It isn't about you. It's about Jesus. And it's about what he's done for you on that cross. You get out of there. You walk on out. Come on. Come on. Walk on out. Come on. That's anything you're going through. Walk on out. Come on. He's healed you. He healed you 2,000 years ago. Walk on out. Come on. But the doctor said, thank God for the doctors, but Jesus healed you 2,000 years ago. Either you're going to receive it or you're going to continue to go off of what other people are saying. Come on, let's walk this out. Why? Because you have to put action to your faith. You have to put action to his word. If he's delivered you, come on out. Come on. Stop talking about it. But people want to know my story. Well, wait until they ask you. Come on out. God is not focused on your failures. Come on out and be filled. Or be filled and then come on out. But people want to hear about our failures. Stop doing what you want and start doing what he wants. Cut to the chase. I said Bob Newhart. Get over it. Stop it. He loves you. You know what you're supposed to be doing. Believing and receiving what he's already given you. He's done all the legwork. He's done the hard work. He created the world. He created all things, and his creation crucified him. Turned against him. Men lied on him. Persecuted him. To the point that they wanted a prisoner, Barabbas, instead of Jesus. You don't think that could have been hard on him? It was. But he did it so that we can have fellowship with the Father. And if you have never given your life to Jesus, you got to understand what he's done for you. He's laid his life down on the line for you so that you can have fellowship with God and so that the Holy Spirit can indwell in you to empower you, to equip you to do what he's called you to do. If you've never given your life to Jesus and you want to do that today, raise your hand. Some people may say, well, I want to do this privately. You don't have to do it privately. You can do it publicly. Everyone here has received Jesus as the Lord and Savior. That's a good thing. But it's also a bad thing. That means that we need to be reaching out even more. Because the gospel is for the lost. Bring somebody you don't know. Bring somebody that needs Jesus. Bring somebody that needs the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Bring somebody that needs to be baptized, water baptized. Bring them. Because the Holy Spirit has equipped you and empowered you to go out and do what Jesus has called you to do. So stay filled up with the Holy Ghost daily. Don't wait until fumes, white knuckling it. You can get filled up on a daily basis. Just don't get weird with it. God is not weird. Go through Walmart, all of the secret of it is embrace. Hey. Oh, I believe God is going to pay for this. No, ma'am. Sir, you need to pay for this. Holding up the line. Doing something weird. God is not weird. But then again, you read the Bible, they did some weird stuff. They thought Jesus was weird because he
Rebuke the storms. Calm the seas. How weird is it to walk around a building and these walls and you give a shout and they come falling down? Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in everything you do. And as Brother Hankin said, he will make you a genius. He will make you smart when you walk in his ways, when you're doing what he's doing, when you're saying what he wants you to say. He has infinite wisdom. Amen. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord, and we thank you for your precious Holy Ghost, Lord. And if there's people here that want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, raise your hand and we will lead you into that. Or you can even do it at home. Father God, we thank you for your power. We thank you that when they ask that you will give them, you will not give them anything else but what they've asked for, the Holy Spirit, Lord. And you're not trying to withhold any good thing in their life, Lord. And we just thank you. We thank you. We just pray for all those who may be sick in their body right now. Receive your healing right now. Receive it and act on it. Receive it and act on it in the name of Jesus. He did it 2,000 years ago. Why are you dealing with it? Spirit of fear, God didn't give it to you. Leave it alone in the name of Jesus. We thank you for healing, for restoration, for healing the brokenhearted, Lord. We thank you. You don't have to be broken anymore. Be healed in the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand together. Thank you. Can you turn us on? Test 1, 2. Hey, young man, can you close us out? Can you close us out in prayer? I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I probably should have asked you before.
Let us bow our heads. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for all the opportunities that you bless all with all of us today. I pray that you protect these people as they travel back home, that you bless them with a good lunch. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Thank you, sir. Y'all have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv. Or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.